think Brother Jerry said it for us all. We do the very best that we can do, but we are not perfect. Whenever that first came up on the screen, I said, "What are the guys in the back doing? That's kind of rude. You're not perfect, Jerry Lewis." Well, welcome, Brother Jerry. Then I realized. But you know what? That was a really good thing. And I thought, I'm glad that he can admit that. And I'm glad that I can admit I am not perfect. My children know that I am not perfect. But I try every day to point them to the person that is. And that is the God of the universe. So I'm glad you ended your song that way. It was perfect. This morning, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. So as you're turning there, I want to kind of catch you up to speed. In the last few weeks, we have been looking at a series that I titled, "The Heat is On." It's fitting that it's summer and it's hot. Got to spend yesterday on the lake with the children and my wife, and it was a wonderful time. It's still hot, even when you're surrounded by water, I can tell you. But what have we been talking about for the last few weeks? First, in week one, we saw in Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel made up his mind that he would not be defiled by the king's food and drink. And we saw him show God to the people that were in command through a test. He found another way to show God to the people, just like we have to do sometimes. We have to find inventive ways to show God to people, to where they can see him and receive him. And Daniel made up his mind long before the test ever came that he would not defile himself. He made his mind up long before that day by his life, living in step with God. And because of that, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, we read that in that he was given knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom that was given to his friends. And Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then in chapter 3, last week, we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three guys, in their test, when the heat got put on them, they made decisions that led them to a fiery furnace. That's pretty hot. And how God used their faithfulness. God used their life. And the fact that they had their theology straight. Remember? If it be so, God will deliver us. If it be God's plan for us. If it be so. But even if he does not, we're still going to serve him. We're still going to worship him with all we've got for as long as we've got. Whether it be for the next 2 minutes before we get thrown into this fire or for the rest of our lives, we're going to serve him, worship him. This morning, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm grateful that you are here. As we look at Daniel chapter 6, we're going to finish our short series this morning by looking at Daniel again and his response to circumstances that would have led him to certain peril. You know, sometimes when we talk about the heat being turned up in our lives, this is not some kind of cozy, comfortable turn the heat up where we're warm. This is not that. This is the heat being turned up to a place where we have to put up or shut up spiritually. It's a hard place to be sometimes. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. If you're there with me, if you are able and willing, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? And we're only going to read a few verses just to whet our appetite, if you will. Just going to whet our appetite a little this morning. I want to read verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, "Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your divine word. Father, as always, as we look at your divine word, we ask for divine help from the Holy Spirit as we interpret and read and absorb Scripture. Father, would you help us with this endeavor? Would you help us to see clearly your plan? Father, would we see clearly an opportunity for engagement and involvement in the kingdom because of your word? Thank you again for your people, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before we go any further, I want you to think through something with me. How many of you had breakfast this morning? Good. All four of you. I see what you mean, Brother Jerry. How many of you would say breakfast is the most important meal of the day? You ever heard that? If you were to ask me, I would say, yes, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. But if you were to also ask me in the same breath, do you think lunch is the most important meal of the day? I would say, yes. If you said, do you think dinner is the most important meal of the day? I would say, yes. Basically, eating is important. Clearly. Why would I bring all this up? I want to talk about something in regards to our finishing up our series here. How many of you guys like Pop-Tarts? Not really a nutritious food. I like Pop-Tarts, okay? And don't go crazy with all the flavors, please. It's like Cece's made a Pop-Tart. You know, Cece's puts things on pizza that just shouldn't go on pizza. And Pop-Tarts have just started putting things that shouldn't go in there. Just give me a plain old cherry Pop-Tart, I'll be good all day long, okay? Now, why would I bring that up? Because Pop-Tarts are kind of a pretty good example of what we're dealing with here. You want to cook a Pop-Tart in the morning, what do? Put it in the toaster, push the thing down, right? And it goes down into the heat. It goes down into this fire. And it's still a Pop-Tart, but it's just better after it's been warmed. The inside gets better, the outside gets better. It's still good alone, but after it's been put into heat, it's just better. Have you ever had a Pop-Tart that wanted to pop up before it's ready? Your toaster may have malfunctioned, it just popped it out, and you're like, that's not warm enough. Back you go. I think God does this with us sometimes. We're fine on our own. We're better after God puts us into some heat. And so I want to go back to Daniel chapter 6. You see, God keeps putting Daniel and his friends into these positions where they have to be heated. I want to go back to chapter 5, though, for just a moment. Turn back a page or so, however your Bible is printed, and look at chapter 5, verse 11. Because, see, Daniel had been given, we read out of chapter 1, that Daniel had been given this ability to interpret visions and dreams. At the king's feast in chapter 5, if you read, there was a strange occurrence that happened. Some fingers showed up and a man's hand started writing on the wall. The king panics and tries to get all of the people to come and interpret this dream, or this vision, if you will. And nobody can do it. All of the smartest people are gathered around and they can't do it. And so the king's wife, because she's smarter than him, happy Father's Day, right? The king's wife shows up in chapter 5, verse 11, saying, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom a spirit of the holy gods and in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of God's, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. So, in chapter 5, we get Daniel on the scene again to interpret and use his giftedness that had been given to him by God for the sake of interpreting the king's dream. All for the sake, we will find out later in the book of Daniel, for the sake of the kingdom. Now, where did Daniel receive this insight? It was given to him by God. I want to remind you, as a body of believers, for you and for me, that God does not just equip us for the moment. When God gives you gifting, when God allows you to exercise a God-given gift, it is usually not given to you for just a single moment in time. Because it didn't say that Daniel was able to interpret dreams and visions for an hour or two or just a couple of days. It was given to him, and so he's using his giftedness for the sake of this earthly kingdom to help the kings interpret their dreams. And now he, what we will see later in the book of Daniel is that he uses it for the sake of God's kingdom. This is how we should be viewing our giftedness that has been given to us by God. Not just for a single moment, not just for a single breath, not just for a few minutes at work, but for a lifetime of kingdom service. This is what God gifts us for. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, for as long as I've got, for as many breaths as I can take, with all that I've got, I'm going to serve my God. So Daniel interprets the dream. The king probably wishes he would not have had this happen, because the king is then slain shortly thereafter. And a new king comes on the scene, and that's where we pick up in chapter 6. It seemed good to Darius, the king, the new king, to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge. We're in verse 1 if you want to follow with me. And over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. And these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Now, then we read this. This Daniel, the one that was gifted by God, began to do what? Distinguish himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So this is going pretty well for Daniel. He has chosen in chapter 1 not to defile himself with the king's food or drink. This was earlier in his life. Now it is later on in his lifetime. He is an older man at this point, and he is still finding favor with the people that are over him. Don't you love that? Here is a man that is serving God, continued to be faithful to who God is and what God has called him to do, and he continues to find himself in favorable positions with people that are over him. I do not think that is a coincidence. It does not always happen that way. It doesn't mean that just because we serve God and trust God that we are going to find ourselves in favor with people that are around us. But it can happen that way. So he's distinguished himself. The king is going to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and the satraps, the other guys, come on, and they say, you know, I don't know if I like this so much. There's three of us, the commissioners, and he's one of them. There's others of us. Let's just see if we can find some ground in chapter 6, verse 4, and begin trying to find ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government affairs. But they can find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Think about what an awesome testimony this is for an older man. People are looking for dirt on him. This is where most of us would have already become undone in this story. They are looking for dirt on Daniel. Can we find anything that we can bring against him that would shut him down? What an amazing testimony that they could find no evidence of corruption, no evidence in regard to government affairs. There's no negligence that has gone on. What a powerful, powerful testimony. You do things right for long enough and people will not have anything bad to say against you. It matters how we handle people. It matters how we do business with people. It always has and it always will. In a world today where things are essentially upside down and good is bad and bad is good, what a powerful testimony of a man. Where there were people in high-ranking positions that were trying to find something against him and they could find no corruption. You know, I've been working on a carport at my house, some of you know. I've decided that the air conditioner has made me weak. Does anybody understand that? The AC has weakened my, I know this comes as a shock to most of you, my superpowers, but it has weakened me to a point where I am human again. I have been working on this carport, and I got post hole diggers and gloves. I got new post hole diggers and new gloves, and as I begin to dig in the fantastic dirt of Jack County, these things started showing up on my hands. Blisters. I'm weak because of the air conditioner. If I hurt your hand after I shake it, it's because they're not soft anymore. I've got calluses now. I say all that to say I think Daniel, at this point in his life, has built these spiritual calluses. He has gone through, he has been battle tested, he has gone through these trials before, he has seen something similar maybe in his life. He is calloused spiritually, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean he is fit for the task. He's going to continue working and doing what God has called him to do, and not get blisters and sores on his hands, not get blisters and sores on his feet. He is not going to waver mentally or physically or spiritually or emotionally because he has been through the fire. I want you to look at chapter 6, verse 5. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Now, this is a verse that we like to just glaze over. But I want to draw a distinction out here because now this battle is no longer in the physical realm. They said, we've tried to find anything against him physically in this horizontal realm that we can find. And we can find nothing against him. So let's up the ante and let's go and make it a spiritual battle. Because the only way we're going to find fault in him is if we put it against his God. If we put him against his own God. Now it is a spiritual battle. And when we have a spiritual battle, we need what? Spiritual weapons. Then the commissioners and satraps, in verse 6, came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows, "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the high officials, and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den." Lies. Why would I say that? Look at the beginning of verse 7. All the commissioners. How many commissioners were there? Three. Perfect. How many of them got together? Two. Lies. All lies. It all started with a lie. The spiritual battle that Daniel got put into all got started with a lie. Now, why does that sound so familiar to us? Remember Genesis 3? The great spiritual battle that we are in now all started with a lie. Satan got with Eve and said, "Did God surely say, you shall not eat from the tree? Did God really say that?" See, Satan was masterful at this. He turned it from a spiritual battle, not about hunger anymore. It's about, did God really say? Did God, putting it into the spiritual realm? Now we are in a spiritual battle. And because we believe those lies so often, we suffer. It's funny, I think, how these men, these commissioners and all of the prefects and the satraps and everybody together do exactly the thing that they were trying to catch Daniel in before. Is there anything that we can bring against him that would cause him to not be put over us? Maybe a lie, maybe something untruthful that he's done in government affairs. So now we'll just lie to the king. Now we'll do exactly what it was that we were trying to catch him in to trick the king. And you see, this is where most of us, myself included, would probably just go, you know what? This law that the king is putting into place, that they're presenting to the king that be put into place, it's only going to last for how long? Only for 30 days. What's a month of not worshiping the true God? I really know in my mind who the true God is, but I'm not. So I'm probably good because I know in my mind who God is. But I'd rather worship the king and keep safe face with all of these people. I'd rather worship the king and not lose my life over it. Because if you don't do this, if you worship anybody other than Darius, the king, you're going to be thrown into a lion's den, and it's only for 30 days. What's a month in my lifetime? What difference will a month make? Surely God will forgive that. Isn't that what we always say? Surely God will just forgive that. I'm super stressed. I'm overtaxed. I'm tired. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this God thing for a long, long time. What's a month? Can give a month and do what I want to do. This is where most of us would have already folded. Say, I'll just go along with it. We may not have ever made it to the lion's den. You know, all of the children's stories start with the king and the rule, but they never talk about this. They just automatically go to the lion's den because it is a miracle and it is worth talking about. But there are so many of us, and myself included, that may not have even made it to the lion's den. What's a month? I'll just give it up for a month. I'll just give God up for a month. How's that working out for all of us? But remember, Daniel has spiritual calluses. Look at verse 10. He's just up in his room, still working out spiritually. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, now in his roof chamber, and he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. And he had been doing as he had been doing previously. I'm just going to go up to my room, and I'm going to keep working out. I'm going to keep building these calluses. I'm going to keep praying to my God. They cannot stop me from doing this. They can try. But the resolve of Daniel to continue to pray And he's praying, not that he would even not be caught. He's got his windows open. Surely people can see him. Because in verse 11, these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke to the king. And there's something that you should know about an injunction made by the king in these days. When the king said it was to be so, he could not even undo his own word. He could not undo what had been done. And so if we were like Daniel, and not just blending in with the crowd, not just giving up God for a month, if we had actually made it to our room to pray and be found being guilty of not worshiping the king, if we can even make it to that point, which Daniel does, then what? I want you to realize something. People are not looking at our lives and basing who we are on what we do on Sunday mornings. Let me say that again. People are not looking at you and me and basing who we are in God on what we do on Sunday mornings. Because it is expected that we come into this building and sit in these comfortable chairs and become weaker by the AC. It is expected of us as believers. What people are basing on who we are in Christ is what we do every other day of the week. Oh my goodness, what if this wasn't even on a Sunday that Daniel was up in his room? I only have to give up God for a month to not be thrown into the lion's den. Maybe I'll wait till Sunday and go in my room and close all the windows and all the doors and do it, and maybe nobody will even see me. You know, I want to go down to verse 11 now. We read verse 11. Thank you. Then they approached and spoke before the king about his injunction. Did you not sign an injunction? They knew they're going to put it back on the king because they know he can't undo it. Did you not sign this injunction that makes any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? And the king replied in verse 12, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. And then they've got Daniel right where they want him, or so they think. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah. See, they don't even account him as a commissioner anymore. Now he's just one of those exiles from Judah. Daniel pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition three times a day. Then as soon as the king heard the statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. Even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. See, the king, remember, the king likes Daniel. He's going to appoint him over the whole kingdom. And so he does everything within his power to undo what has been done, but he cannot find a loophole. There is no way out of this. And he exerts himself, it says. He looks for every possible way to undo this, and he can't. Why? Because now it's a spiritual battle. And in a spiritual battle, God has an opportunity to show up and show off. I want you to look at verse 16. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. The king acknowledges who God is. He acknowledges Daniel's God. But the king does not yet serve Daniel's God. You see the distinction? It is not enough that we know who God is here without knowing who God is with our whole being. It is not enough that we have an intellectual assent to who God is if we are not willing to devote our entire being to Him. That is why most of us would not even have made it to the lion's den in the first place. I'll just give up God for 30 days. It's only a month. I'll just quit God so that I can keep my life how it is. One of the latest polls that I saw that was done in 2006 said that regular church-going people say that they are regular church attenders if they show up 3 times in an 8-week span. And that's being generous. It's just a month. It is just a month. And I know who God is, right? Even the king said to Daniel, "Your God, capital G, whom you constantly serve, will himself, capital H, deliver you." He knew Daniel's God. But he did not know Daniel's God. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his signet ring. See, things are just going on as the status quo. This is the injunction that was made. I cannot undo it. I'm going to seal this cave, and you're going to be set to the lions. Let's finish. We got to get done. Nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel's predicament in verse 17. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. It's bad when you do something wrong and you have to wrestle with that decision. Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he came near to the den, to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God," there's that acknowledgement, "has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Ha! What a question. The God of the universe, was he able? Was he able to deliver you from the lions? Ha! This is the God of the universe that spoke everything into motion. Can he deliver you from a lion? Absolutely. If he chooses to. Then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever." I think it's funny that he does that. He still gives credit and homage to the king who is over him. He doesn't just braggishly go off on this spiel about how amazing his God is. He still gives credit to the king. "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." Daniel was spared from the mouth of the lions by his God. Amen and amen. But I want you to look at one other thing as we finish today. The actions of the people that were trying to trick Daniel did not just have an effect on them. As we finish this story, the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. The king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, not just them, their children and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Men, it matters to our families how we conduct ourselves. It matters. Because there are long-reaching implications to our decisions. That is why we must remain focused on God. Why we must remain committed to serving Him with all that we've got for as long as we've got. No matter what heat gets put on us spiritually, it is critical that we do this, that we continue to serve God. And I'm coming down hard on the men here because it is our responsibility to lead our families. And yes, we fail at it. Yes, we are not perfect, like Jerry's song indicated. But with all that we've got, for as long as we've got, let's try to serve our God. Because it matters to us and it matters to our families. And so if, by chance today, we would have made it to the lion's den, let's be found faithful. As we go there, as we get there, and as God delivers us through that. Because there is no retiring for the sake of the kingdom. There is no days off for the sake of the kingdom. Not even a month. Let's serve Him with all that we've got for as long as we've got, no matter how hot the heat gets. Let's pray. Father, thank You for another opportunity to share Your Word. Father, as we have looked at Daniel chapter 6, almost in its entirety, Father, help us to be found faithful. Help us to be found with a testimony like Daniel's, to where that we conduct our business and we conduct ourselves in such a manner that no charge can be brought against us. Father, help us to be found obedient when the heat is turned on. When people maliciously may come against us, Father, help us to be found faithful. Father, as men in this room, help us to lead our families in such a way that the ripple effect is not a negative one, but a positive one for the influence and sake of the kingdom. Father, thank You again for Your Word. Thank You again for how it teaches. Would we give glory to You in these moments because of it? We love You. We give this time to You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Travis.